Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
January 20, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is the show you were looking for. I know this because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, Friars Day and O'Chelly.com is back to its live status. Although there's a lot of shuffling going on, we're going to keep the Friday night call-in show, well, kind of the same. B. Pete is going to remain as my co-host. The number is going to remain the same, and that is 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016, and you can call in, you can join us tonight with the old format, which means anything goes, bring it on, the new caller gets to pick the topic, whatever they think, that's where we'll go. However, coming up, starting next week, we're gonna do it a little different. So before we lay that out, again, 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. And if I sound a little strange tonight, just readjusted stuff with equipment. I may have to swap out another piece to my setup. And what are you going to do? But anyway, it is what it is. It's Friday night. Oh, and you can reach out to me via Skype, Charles.O'Chelly on Skype. And if you ask me to, I can call you into the show on Skype. You don't call in, I call you. Okay, so 319-527-5016, and we're going to roll with the regular old open topic, and first thing I got to do is check in with my co-host, Pete. How you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. What was that number again, 319-527-5016?
That's correct. I try and keep that interesting and try and do it like, you know, like professionally when I do that and when I can, but, you know, it is what it is. I can repeat it in my sleep usually.
I always remember the 527 because that's a local three number here.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was either, when I was growing up, it was either 527 or 523 for years.
You know what's funny is I think I'm crazy here. I think your mic is a little hot. I'm going to actually turn you down a little. But what else is going on in your neck of the woods?
Really not a lot. Work has kind of started slowing down a little bit. Of course, it's wintertime. You can only do so much. But other than that, I'm getting ready to dive into some yard preparations. I think I've got 50,000 leaves out there I need to rake. I'm trying to see if I can set it on fire on one corner and just watch it burn to the opposite corner.
Is that still legal in North Carolina to burn your leaves, or is that one of those things like, maybe we won't bother you if you do it and there aren't any problems?
Well, they've got no open burning here in town. If you're out of town, you pretty much burn whatever you want.
Okay. You gotta know.
Well, they're like old houses and that. They used to, people would knock them in and have to haul them off. But then they started letting the volunteer fire departments use them for training. And they would burn it down, practice on it, and then once it was done, they would take care of the clearing and all. But it gave them something to train with. They found so many of these houses around here had asbestos in them. They said, no, we can't be burning them anymore.
Yeah,
so
I wonder.
They're wrapping them up, knocking them down, hauling them off.
I wonder how many of those houses got burned before somebody figured out, wait a minute, asbestos.
Yeah, well, quite a few.
I bet.
Quite a few.
What are you going to do? And then, you know what the fun part is afterwards, it's not just what goes up into the air, but afterwards, if they, sort of let some of that get crushed into the earth and you can't help it, now you got that stuff contaminating the grass and whatever else goes there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, now, I have a friend of mine. He's been farming his whole life, and he's decided to get into chicken farming. So he had to build chicken houses. Well, I think his grandfather had farmed tobacco was his big crop, so he had all these tobacco barns out there. He used to periodically burn one down. Whenever he did, we'd throw a pig picking. So, I mean, that was the, you know, instead of the bonfire at the end of the night, it was light the building off and we'd have a good time. It ended up being like 2-3 day affairs.
Yeah, well, you know, big fires. People like to gather around big fires. You know, for me, growing up in, like, the Asbury Park area, every once in a while, a building otherwise considered abandoned would go up magically on fire. And, you know, things would happen.
Well, a couple kegs, you know, get a whole hog and put it on a cooker and make a weekend out of it.
Oh, no, these guys would literally order a pizza and then show up with, you know, a couple cases of beer in the trunk. We'd watch the building burn, Steinbeck's or Sears or whatever. And people would just come from a couple surrounding towns. Let's watch the building burn. anyway, I'm not going to make any more comments about it, but I'm just saying it was usually, I think, a business decision by somebody.
Oh, yes.
But, anyway, it was one of those things that happened. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, at least down south, you burn down your own barn usually, right? I mean,
some guys here that really tried to scam the insurance agency. They went out, devised a machine with a fan and a hopper and I think it was like a 6-inch dryer hose. And, they put a bunch of ice in there, chipped it up, and then blew it through this thing down on their tobacco crops. Nice. And then filed hail damage reports with the insurance company. So they were able to crop the tobacco. It didn't hurt the tobacco at all. I mean, it just broke some of the leaves at the stems. But other than that, you know, it just had a few holes in it. So they crop it, sell it, you know, take a loss on it, and then collect on the insurance. They finally busted them. I thought, now that's ingenious, to invent a hailstorm in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't show up on any radar data that any TV station or airport around here has. So, but, you know, they found them out pretty easy. They got, they made 3 or 4 big claims before they finally got caught.
Yeah, insurance fraud is actually one of those really lucrative businesses constantly, you know. I mean, geez, even, a couple years ago, there was a bunch of...
insurance company.
Well, you know, look, and whoever feels bad for the insurance company getting beat, right? Because the fact is, a lot of times you got legitimate claims and they find every reason in the world not to pay you off, even though you paid your insurance all along.
A lawyer having to pay fees, so what?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, please. But I've seen lots of things like that over the years where it's like, well, okay, it turns out that scrapping certain things, like turning it in for the metal, winds up being worth more than the thing is actually worth, whatever it might be, right? I'm being real general here because there's a lot of different categories on this. I mean, there were people that did this with cars. There were people that did this with, you know, big equipment, you know, like...
Yeah, the big here is catalytic converters and copper piping. They'll go into a house. If there's a house sitting abandoned somewhere, or it's, let's say, the owner died and it's on the market, you know, it's sitting in probate. Go in at night, strip every bit of copper out of the daggum thing.
Oh, yeah. So, no, people go in, get rid of the baseboard heating, the copper pipes, if there's copper pipes in there. I mean, all that's an always and forever small-time operation. What I'm talking about is all of a sudden you got, like, say, a construction company that's got, you know, aged equipment that's insured, but they made them pay, you know, pretty extreme insurance rates on it in order to keep operating these machines. And then somebody does the calculation that if you scrap the machine, it's worth more, and you can collect the insurance if somehow it was stolen and then scrapped, you know. So I used to see stuff like that.
Contractor on our job shut down over Christmas, like 2 days before Christmas on through after New Year's, and they came back to work and eight of their trucks on their locked yard with surveillance cameras. Someone went in and got 8 catalytic converters off of them. So that's a big thing here now, is catalytic converters. It's really become rampant in this state.
Those are valuable, the old ones especially, right? I mean, because I think that there were newer ones that have different material in them or something.
Yeah, but even the newer ones are still using high-priced metals in them.
Ah, okay.
The metals in them are going from anywhere from $500 to, like, $25,000 an ounce.
Awesome. So we do have a caller, and so I'm going to go to the caller and remind everybody again, 319-527-5016. That is the number to call, and the rules still apply, as they always have about this show, until next week. And we're going to talk about that later on in the show. I only got out Jack Blood's podcast today so far. I have one from yesterday for me with Mike Swanson and Larry Hancock. But that
just a note in the room, they're saying that still coming in hot.
Still what? My mic or you?
Mine.
Oh, yours is still too hot. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. You know, I got this iffy thing going on. I'm going to have to swap out the actual physical mixer. So go ahead, BP. Give me 1, 2, 3.
Check 1, 2, 3, 4.
There we go. I definitely took the edge off of BP now. Now, hopefully I'm not too loud. Anyways, guys, appreciate you helping it out. I mean, I can always smooth this stuff out in post-production, usually, except that Uncle New Year's Eve show. That thing was a mess, but... Anyway, let's go to the caller and see if his mic's too hot, because you never can tell. Jimmy James, I think that's you, and how you doing, man? Uh-oh. Do I have his slider turned down? Let me see. Jimmy James, I do run the phones in a different way. I'm not hearing you, Jimmy James. I don't know if that's you or me.
Nope, I don't hear him at all either.
I don't hear him at all, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now he hung up. I'm thinking it must be a problem on his end. Anyway, call us back, Jimmy James. And anybody else, 319-527-5016. Love to hear from you and whatever's on your mind tonight. And we'll be going to, I don't know, 5 or 6 after at least, because we started a little late. But anyway, if you're hearing the podcast, it won't matter. Good.
We're both... Faye says we're both hot, but it's more even now.
All right. Well, I'll try and fix that. I might have to fix that later, so hopefully it's just tolerable, guys. Or maybe I can turn down the monitor just a touch, and we can get away with it that way. But anyways, we'll do what we can with the sound as we go. Go ahead.
Random says, I'm good now, but you're still hot.
Ah, okay. Well, anyways, I'll back off of my mic. I'll try it that way, too. Looks like we got Jimmy James back on the line, so let's give him a couple of seconds to get oriented there and see if we got him or I got to adjust his slider, too. Jimmy James, can you hear me, man?
I can hear you.
There he is. Okay, now Jimmy James' mic's not too hot, is it?
Man with a fan.
The man with a fan. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? Okay.
Now his phone is sounding totally different than the old feedback phone.
Well, everybody's turned down right now on my usual settings. So I don't know what's going on, except again, I think I'm just going to have to swap out. I got Random one backup said, mixer. All's so
good. Yeah, Random says all's good.
Mm. All right. Well, everybody's turned down, so hopefully that'll all work. But anyways, Jimmy James. And also we got a new... We got a new little donate commercial that's going to premiere tonight on the show in the break. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. Mixed that up and made that up today. So, Jimmy James, what's on your mind, man? New caller, so the old rules still apply this week. What's up?
Well, what's changing next Friday?
Okay. Since you asked, BP, do you want to explain this, or should I?
Well, you start, and if you get stuck, I'll jump in.
Okay, fair enough. What we're going to do starting next week is one of two things is going to happen in the first hour on Fridays from now on, which will be that either we have a guest, okay, which I don't think there's going to be that many of them, but here and there we're going to put in a guest. And maybe let them do, you know, an hour like I would normally do, except I'll have BP along with me. And he'll be able to ask some questions and stuff. But we'll do an interview or a presentation with the first segment of the show. They could be on a half hour. They could be on 45 minutes. They could be on a full hour. Okay? And if we don't do that, then BP and I will independently select a topic or a news story or an issue, whatever it is, we're going to each take a half hour of the first hour of the show and discuss this one thing that we feel is important or whatever. Okay. There's no real set rules between us about it. It's just going to be like, here's BP, here's Chuck. We each have a piece of this hour. Okay. And in the second hour, that's when we really want people to call in. Now, you'll be able to call in during the first hour, but I wouldn't necessarily guarantee we're going to take the call. In the second hour, though, we will. Second hour, we want people to discuss whatever went on in the first hour. Okay? And therefore, focus on the topics. Now, it could be that we wind up running out of stuff to talk about that topic, and then we go to the old format. Bring up whatever you want, talk about whatever you want. That's the way it's going to run. Now, is that too confusing, BP?
No, I don't think so, and I think once everything starts running that way, people will get very used to it.
Okay. So, did I get that clear with you, Jimmy James?
Yeah, I got it. You're going topical.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to try and do a topic-driven call-in instead of just straight, you know, anything goes. For the most part.
Yeah.
Because we really lost a lot of listeners for the Friday night show, and I think some of it has to do with, I mean, honestly, BP and I just sit here and, you know, shoot the breeze sometimes. Or we just shoot the breeze with you, and I think that might not be as interesting or entertaining, to the, podcast listeners. So, that's why we're changing it.
Or it could be the Google Analytics is giving you a big load of shit.
Well,
because I think they're a load of crap.
Well,
how about that? I think if I was the guest, Friday would be probably your most popular show.
Well, we'll see, but I'm not relying on Google Analytics for it. Just so you know, I have an independent set of things that gives me an idea of how many people download the shows and which ones are most popular and all that. You know, like I know exactly how many listeners, say, Chris Graves has versus Aaron, stuff like that, based on how many people download.
I'm saying you really don't, though, because these five companies, they fuck with all that stuff.
Yeah, to some degree, but you know, look, you gotta use some kind of gauge. Well, you know what? We don't do AM and FM.
Me of all people, I dropped an F-bomb there, bud.
You did. I'm being asked to give out the phone number again. 319-527-5016. And that number will remain the same. But yeah, we're going to just try and be more focused is all. And see how it goes. You know. So anyway, let's see. I do actually have a Skype message, so I'm not sure if somebody wants to get in on the conversation, but you can do it that way too. Charles.Ocelli.
I just threw the number in the room again.
Excellent. Charles.Ocelli on Skype is the way to join. If you ask me to call you into the show, I can call you, but you got to ask. You can't call in via Skype. I call you. And it does turn out that we have somebody who wants to join, so I'm going to join them in here shortly. But Jimmy James, you understand the rest of it, right?
No, yes, sounds good.
Yeah, 319-527-5016 is the number again. Sorry, I was distracted for a moment, but yeah, we're going to add Nature Boy here in just a sec. So. Anyway, BP, so does that make sense? I mean, do you have any other suggestions, Jimmy James? I mean, other than, yeah, sure, they probably do screw with my numbers a bit, but comparatively speaking, if I'm doing better with other nights, I mean, it's, you know, maybe they're suppressing all my numbers. What can I do?
I'm pretty sure they are messing with all of your numbers. Look what happened when Musk bought Twitter. All of a sudden, all these people that before were being shadow banned, they're literally getting millions of more people who couldn't even find them.
Like
John Bongino picked up like 3 million new, followers, whatever you call them on Facebook or Twitter, because before they were literally shadow banning him and not letting his message be shown, this and that.
Well, Twitter's a weird thing, too, because Graves went through a thing on there where he thought he was being shadow banned, and then he wasn't, which I don't know what to make of it, honestly. You know, what do you do at this point? I mean, you can't, and I've tried to argue this with people who go, well, exactly how many listeners do you have? Cause I've tried to, get, you know, advertisers and things recently. And frankly, they want numbers, you know? They want to know what's your numbers? What's your numbers? And, I don't think anybody really truly has their exact accurate numbers, but we can give you a general idea, you know? And I try and be honest about that. Other people say, you know, I've got this many listeners, whatever, and they boast numbers, but...
They just happen to have, like, people that just happen to do that for a living, don't you know, Chuck?
I know.
They're the special ones that could give them the number.
I know.
They'll be like, it'll be all right. You just pay me and I'll put you on there.
Oh, no, I can get a guy who can accurately follow every single thing. I can do that, but I have to pay him. Yeah, he's got, you know, some sort of special programs that allegedly give him a much better idea about, you know, who's being followed or whatever. I mean, according to one of those services that I have, you know, this show is in the top 5% of all podcasts, right? Well, if that were true, then my monetization should be different than it is. So I don't know if it's true or not, you know. I do know that at one point we were doing a lot better, but Google has crushed me as far as being able to search me out, you know, and the loss of the YouTube channel did not help. But yeah.
Look what they did to you on YouTube. I mean, they clearly identified you as someone they don't like.
Well, right.
Probably because of your vaccine stance.
And yet they never banned me on Twitter. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Other people have screamed, you know, how is it? Actually, there were some people starting to accuse me of being, maybe I'm one of the shills out there because I still had a YouTube channel for a while, you know. It was like, well, the only way you have a YouTube channel now is if you're in somebody's pocket. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. I must be in the wrong pocket because there ain't no money in it.
The thing that ticks me off the most about the YouTube debacle is they've taken down, when they went through their culling, they took down some things that really, I mean, were legit investigation type programs.
Right.
And just because it was, you know, you could label, I mean, that's the new, you know, that's the new, stigma now is to be a conspiracy theorist or a election denier.
Right.
You know, that's the worst curse you could get now. But it's just killed me that they, in that broad sweep, they took down some good stuff that really shouldn't have been, you know, messed with.
Well,
but
I told
they just
you,
they
took down some stuff that I had up there for historical reasons that is not conspiracy theory even. You know, and I don't understand it. And I kept getting those, you know, the little labels under the bottom saying get the facts about the Kennedy assassination and whatever, and they'd refer you to Wikipedia or you know, or whatever. But the thing is, I mean, I was getting those and it was bringing my numbers down, but I wasn't getting banned for a long time. So yeah, some people started accusing me of like actually being one of the shills. I think we have Nature Boy with us, by the way.
You do.
Ah,
good evening,
there he
gentlemen.
Is.
How you doing?
How you doing, Nature Boy? Did you get the explanation on how we're going to change the format in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I did. I was listening to the show about on. Oh, by the way, I really like the changes and bringing Chris on. I think that's a nice, solid move. Yeah, and it's going to be a topical driven show on Fridays, correct?
Yep.
With a guest occasionally.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm hoping that maybe you'll maybe even help me book some of those guests with the understanding that they'd be on the call-in show. Now, the guest doesn't necessarily have to stick around for the second hour. We can just have a discussion amongst ourselves, but it gives them an opportunity to go, okay, if you want to hang around for an hour and take calls, we can do that. So, you know, I don't know. It'll be something different, I think. And I recall, especially the way that the most successful, like, talk station in New Jersey, used to do this. Like, every hour, they would change topics, and that's what you had to call in about. And if you didn't, you know, they usually didn't put you on the air. I mean, they ended up talking about other things, too. but they would turn you away most of the time if you didn't want to talk about that topic. And they'd ask you, what do you want to say about it? You know, they'd screen you. Now, I don't have a call screener, but, I mean, if you go in with that understanding, you already know. And I think if we're smart enough to have some good topics and a couple of good guests in there that will evoke a discussion, I think it'll be well worth it, you know?
Yeah, I can see how it could be fun.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if somebody wants to stick around for the second hour and just kind of hang out, you know, with the crew, I guess you could say.
Right.
If we let them go that first hour without call in, it gives them a chance to get their info out. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there's going to be questions from me and Chuck while they're discussing whatever they're discussing, but it allows them to have an hour for them to put it out there. Then if they want to hang around and listen to calls, you know, it gives them that option. Some of them may be busy and can't, but oh, I got a new book coming out. I wanted to promote, so give them an hour. Talk about the book.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, so all that's going on. I think that's a good thing, but we're still working with the same old rules. So before I get to the next caller on the phone line, I was just curious if you have anything you want to throw on the table, Nature Boy.
Yeah. How about the resignation of the New Zealand Prime Minister?
Yeah.
She doesn't have anything left in the tank.
I just saw that, and yeah. I saw their proposed replacement. Jimmy James has something to say.
The story is she's extremely unpopular, and every member in her party's going to lose in the upcoming election. She didn't. That's the real story. She'd get canned if she didn't.
The excuse politicians give is never the real story when they leave office. You know, I did it for my family. Right. Now you got busted with an 8-ball of coke and 3 whores. All right, that's the real story.
Yeah, this is part of the deal you cut. This is part of the deal you cut with the prosecutor, who just happens to be your political opponent, who you say, look, I'll resign, and, you know, how about you go light on this or you don't prosecute me? That's usually the story, right?
Take that. Remember the Inquirer and John Edwards when they nailed him for having the mistress and the kid. That's when, you know, that was one of the few occasions the National Enquirer became the source for all the other news agencies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was just over an illicit affair. He tanked quick on that one.
Well, and he wasn't even, you know, and it was about the office he was running for, not even the office he held. You know what I mean? When it came to Edwards.
Yeah.
No, ironically, that was one Democrat that I actually supported.
It turns out.
It turned out to be total trash.
Isn't that the one when he confronted him? He tried to run and hide in the men's bathroom or something like that and locked himself in?
Well, yeah, he picked up another chick while his wife was dying of cancer. I mean, come on.
He,
well, what was it? Newt Gingrich did the same thing, didn't he? Didn't Newt Gingrich do the same thing, or am I mixing him up with another? There was another guy on the right wing side.
Well, no, his wife was dying of cancer, and he wasn't cheating on her while she was literally on her deathbed. Not exactly the same.
It wasn't, maybe it wasn't Gingrich then. It was some, I know there was a right winger, BP, who had a similar thing where his wife was like gonna die or whatever, so he left her. And it was kind of kept
quiet.
Wait
a minute. McCain?
Yeah, I think it is.
That's McCain.
Is that McCain?
That's McCain.
Having problems.
Okay. No, I knew it was somebody. I thought it was Gingrich because I barely kept it in my brain. Because quite frankly,
Gingrich was a book deal that word came out that he had gotten some advance or something, and
oh, his was money.
Okay, came about it, and he, you know, he just backed down after that.
I got you. So his was money, but McCain is the one who got busted with the leaving the wife when she was in bad shape, and
he, when McCain got out of the, well, you know, he was recovering from his injuries and being prisoner of war,
right,
and he decided he wanted to run for local office, and I think. I want to say his first wife suffered from depression or something real bad. Mm. I can't remember exactly what it was. Well, he ended up dumping her, and then that's when he hooked up with his new wife.
Okay.
What?
Okay, I'm looking it up right now. Let's see.
Captain McCain, you'll see, was the naval attaché to the Senate before he was in the Senate.
Yeah. Well,
imagine that.
Big shocker there. Hey, listen, you know, just to go to show that I never show favorites, I have had Mrs. O on hold for like 10 minutes here, just so you guys know. So I'm gonna let her on and see what she wants to throw on the table. Unless, Nature Boy, did I interrupt you or keep you from something?
No, not really. I was just kind of hanging out listening to you guys.
Cool.
And it wasn't McCain. He, really quick, she was in a bad car accident while he was a POW. And their marriage finally in 1980 broke up. And it says they remained friendly and amicable. She got custody of the kids as well as alimony, child support, and he paid for the kids' colleges, two houses, and he continued to pay for her medical bills. So
okay.
I think it might have been Gingrich. I remember that story about a major politician, right wing, that pretty much his wife was dying. He says, I'm getting a new one.
See, I could have swore it was Gingrich.
Looked like
yeah.
His second wife, it looked like a Stepford wife. She was blonde, cropped hair.
Kind of robotic. Yeah, mm-hmm. See if you can look that up if you got a chance there, if you wouldn't mind, because I'd love to know. Because I'm almost certain that Gingrich did something like it. I'm not saying he was the same as Edwards, but it's like, that's kind of reminiscent. And I always find it funny when it's like, you know, one side does something and it's a big deal, the other side, like poor Al Franken,
no,
as far as I'm concerned.
The reason they made a big deal of it at the time is because they were impeaching Clinton for lying under oath.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Democratic talking point was, now, it's all about sex. Oh, look, Gingrich is having an affair. Woo, woo, woo.
Now, yeah, but my point is not that. I'm not trying to make the Democratic talking point. What I'm trying to say is that it's like, because frankly, at the end of the day, I don't care that Clinton got blown. I don't care that these guys are terrible with their wives. This does not bother me. That's between them and their wives, them and their lovers, them and their sluts, okay? That's their problem, not mine. Do your damn job. So I don't care. But
but a lot of
people do.
The lying under oath is... No.
Fair enough.
That's,
fine. Jimmy, I'm not arguing with you on it. Let me get to Mrs. O before we descend. Okay.
All I would at the time would have been like, if he'd have come out, admitted it, and said he was sorry, it wouldn't even have been a big, gigantic issue.
Well, back
but he
then.
He had to just do what Democrats always do. Keep on lying.
Well, look, back then he might have been able to do the mea culpa and get away, but nowadays, forget it, because look at what happened to Al Franken. I mean, you don't think it was fair what happened to Al Franken, do you?
Al Franken supposedly sexually assaulted someone against their will while they were asleep, and all it was a gag. He didn't even touch her. He posed for a funny photo.
No, I'm aware of that. That's why I'm saying the fact that he was, like, removed from office or forced to resign, I thought was...
He wrote it by his own, and that's a shame what happened to Al Franken.
Well, okay, so you and I agree it's a shame what happened to Al Franken. All right, fair enough. Let's now move to Mrs. O, who has been waiting now probably 14 minutes. Sorry, hon. What's on your mind? How you doing in the other room?
All right. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing okay. We talked about the format change, which I know you've already heard about. You heard about it 15 times from me. But so we talked about that, and we're trying to remember if it was Newt Gingrich that had a scandal with the leaving the sick wife or whatever, like John Edwards did or not.
Well,
there's controversy on it.
But, okay.
Was dating a woman that was 23 years younger than him. That and a combination of some tax claims on some college stuff and his book deal that he finally resigned.
So it was also money. I mean, whatever. I'm just saying. It's just
they had him on a bunch of tax charges in the ethics committee.
There you go. So anyway, hon, I'm sure that's not what was on your mind. What would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, two quick things. One, I think the change for Friday is good because, like with anything else, it gets stale. You got to change up, you know. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it works out. And if not, there'll, you know, be another change. That's
right.
All. Well, this isn't probably going to be public friendly, but whatever. Tony Dungy, I don't know if anybody saw it, but it's not about the football, it's about the whole subject itself. Is he got in trouble for tweeting a reply to a comment that a senator, he's from, hold on, I got it here. She's from Minnesota, I think. Talking about putting feminine menstrual products in all the bathrooms because not just females menstruate.
Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry. I'm all down, you know, with people wanting to identify as whatever. But aren't we getting a little ridiculous with this? Science is science. I mean, only women can menstruate. So why are we putting tampons and maxi pads in male bathrooms?
Well,
because
you know,
you might have a transgender male in that bathroom who is menstruating and, you know, would need the services of the clock on the wall.
Well, I don't know. Have they evolved to the point where they can, you know, insert the fake uterus that'll actually, you know, every 28 days drip? I mean, no. Is this where we're at? Or no?
No, a trans male. Well, you have a woman that is trans... transitioning to a male, but hasn't had the surgery yet.
Oh, there's
See,
a thought. Okay.
Using the bathroom, because in some states you get to pick whichever you want, and so the products would have to be there. Some school system is mandating that it be done as well, and I think that's what started the discussion on it.
See, I didn't even think of that. You know, you're a good point, though. There's your thought, is that, okay, if you have a situation where... Now, transitioning from female to male, you still got your female parts, so they're still gonna, you know, do what nature does. So maybe you're going into the men's room, but you still have the other parts. I got it. Okay. Now I understand. Otherwise, I'm going, what the hell?
This is just getting ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, hon. You go first, and then we'll get from Jimmy James, because I'm sure Jimmy's got a gem to add to this.
Well, to me, I mean, like I said, I'm all down with what anybody wants to be, but aren't we going a little too far?
Well, but
like Tony Dungy said, maybe they should put cat litter boxes in the bathroom for people who want to, you know, identify as a cat, which to me cracked me up out loud. I thought it was hilarious.
Nah, whatever. I mean, I wouldn't give him trouble.
Someone's opinion.
Yeah. No. Look, I wouldn't give him trouble over that opinion, but there is.
Oh, that's happening.
But there is the reality.
There's a school in Kentucky that had to close the high school because the girls were going around dressed as cats, scratching people, and would only talk and meowing.
All right. Fair enough. But before.
This is the state of our culture.
Fair enough. Before we get into that Twilight Zone, Jimmy James, hold off a second. The point that B. Pete brought up, though, is interesting because if you have a woman who's, you know, born a woman, assigned female at birth, right? And she is now transitioning into, man.
I understand.
No, not you! Jimmy James, hold on. Jimmy James, hold on. Let me finish talking to Mrs. O for a sec. What I'm saying is that if you got a female assigned at birth, female, transitioning into a man, right? They go into the men's room, they still have that, you know, the female parts they were born with. So, indeed, there might be somebody who's using the men's room who does have female parts now, if we're working under that premise, right? So
that's the whole argument behind the men can get pregnant argument.
Yeah, well, come on. I mean, anyway, the point is, just because
I
you...
I got where you're going, Ted. I just wanted to say that people seem to have suddenly gone mentally retarded because they must have forgotten that people under 18 can't even have sex with someone legally, let alone change their sex. People need to start going to prison for this crap.
A lot of states, the age of consent is 16. I think in this state at one time it was 14.
Yeah. Yeah, no, true. Look, the age of consent. Yeah, the age of consent is one thing, and then, you know, it's an interesting point, though, to consider that if you're... But here's the thing, if you're two 16-year-olds, or you're two 14-year-olds, what do you do legally with that? Nobody's violating anybody else, necessarily. So, I mean, there's a whole lot to unpack with this. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, there is.
About that. The point is that anyone under 18 cannot sign a document legally. They cannot leave medical treatment. I don't care what commie states pass. It's not legal. It's going to end up going.
What does that have to do with having to change the tampon?
Yeah. Well, anyway, back.
What it has to do, BP, is that people in high school shouldn't be having sex changes. Duh.
Okay.
I think it's this agenda that's getting put down onto the children is, I don't think abomination is the right word, but I think we're going to see a lot of social ills not too far down the line of this. And it's orchestrated, and eventually it goes to the transhumanist movement. Maureen Rothblatt, the trans female who owns Ceres, who, by the way, is still married to her original wife, you know, wrote a book from trans to transhumanism even about that. And they're starting to use social engineering to prep the younger generation to exist in the cloud, so to say, and in the cloud, this is what they say, not Nature Boy, is that now you can be whatever you want, so gender and sex have no relevance. And, I mean, am I off base on this being a social engineering move, or
no,
maybe
it's incorporated into school systems throughout the world.
No, you're not off base, but it jumps.
You have to understand about the alphabet community is it's not just ladyboys. There are a lot of trans people transitioning, and if you're transitioning, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a sex change. A lot of people transition and never go through with the surgery, but that's, you know, that's what you have to take into consideration when you start mandating social policy in public institutions. So, you know, somebody needing to use feminine hygiene products in high school is a common thing. And if someone is transitioning, you gotta realize most of these schools now are implementing programs where students can transition or change their gender and parents aren't even notified that this is going on in school, at school.
Yeah.
See, but back to the issue of accommodation, right? Cause we're jumping way ahead with the transhumanist agenda and all that. Meanwhile, in the meantime, if you're in a school system and you gotta accommodate people for whatever reason, you're not necessarily in control of the social engineering, but you got to figure out how to sort this too. So that's what I was trying to get back to is that, you know, okay, so now what do? You have this circumstance, whether it's right or wrong, where you're going to have people that are going to use the men's room that might indeed need some of these products. You know how I would solve it?
The social engineering is taking place in the schools, and that's what's implementing these changes.
A very easy way to solve that is that's something that can very be well accomplished by the next door. And if you're transitioning, you're still biologically, well, you're always biologically female, but you're still a female.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very easy accommodation. But the problem is that our society has gotten so narcissistic. It's all about me. Now, instead of people like in our generation, we had to make the way into our world, make our world fit into the world. Now, they're expected the whole world needs to change so it fits their little bitty world.
Yeah, because my
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What about accommodating yourself? I mean, there's that. But go to the nurse's office and get yourself a sanitary napkin. I just see an awful lot of problems going to start from this. There's going to be, you know, some of these big football players who don't want to see maxi pads in their bathroom, and they're going to turn around and beat the crap out of the whatever boy who wants to be a girl who wants to be a boy, whatever.
Or the thing
is getting ridiculous. I don't want to sound like I'm not, you know, for everybody's personal whatever they want to be, but again, like everything else, it's being pushed onto all of us who don't want to do it or don't believe in it, don't agree. Where does it stop?
Well, it's when you allow less than 1% of the population to dictate how things are going to be. If you look at the breakdown of the populations and how much the alphabet community takes up, they're running the agenda now. You would not think that somebody with such a low percentage in the population would have as much clout as they do. but they're the new civil rights cause. Mm. So it has to be pushed to the forefront.
Well, another thing about this, what about the safety of the girls, okay? Because now you have men, and keep in mind, a large percentage of trans females are not gay. All right, I found that out from a trans friend of mine. She wasn't gay, and it blew my mind. I'm like, what do you mean you're attracted to women? And she said with her gruff voice, I might be trans, but I ain't gay. So it's a safety of the children, and I see it as a safety issue. I see it a lot of things that can come go wrong by doing it, and I think there are certain spaces, call me old-fashioned, that need to be reserved for women.
Mm.
And it, for me, it's part of it's not, oh, I'm against this. It's no, it's a safety. I'm a guy. Men are pigs. And I'm a good guy. So I'm not a pig. But I know people who would take any advantage they could. Right? And in high school, come on. Now Billy Bob can one day say, oh, I'm a female, and go shower with his girlfriend and her friends in the shower. And there's nothing legally or policy-wise the school can do. So that's my two cents. I'm just going to end it at that.
Well, there's a serious lack of clarity here, because no matter what, you can't possibly accommodate the various splits on this agenda. It's impossible to do, you know, basically, unless you create a space where, you know, only a singular individual can go into a space like that. That would be the ultimate in safety, if there is just a one-person bathroom, period. And you got a set of them. And it doesn't really matter. They accommodate either male or female, and only one person enters, one person leaves. You know what I mean? Other than that, I don't see how you accommodate this. I mean, all the way across the board.
You don't accommodate stupidity. All right, now I'm going to quote Blind Joe.
Hmm.
Boys have dicks, chicks have babies, and if you don't know this, you're the stupidest bastard alive.
Well, you paraphrased Blind Joe, but that's all right. We're going to go to a break here on the Friday Night Call-In Show. We're almost an hour through, but hey, you never know what else might happen. So far, we've had Jimmy James, we've had Nature Boy, we've had Mrs. O all join us, and you can do the same. 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016, format change starting next week with my co-host B. Pete, who is also with me. Stick around, we'll return after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's just a gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Time has come. All you gonna need is one time around, so kick it up. Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilan from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really, really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
In denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Ochilli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second segment of the Ochilli Effect here on a Friday night. It is the open mic night because, well, we're doing it that way this week. Still the same rules apply if you call in, this week anyway, if you decide to call in and want to join us and throw a topic on the table, that's what we'll discuss. Whatever's on your mind, 319-527-5016. You are welcome to join us and discuss whatever you feel like. 319-527-5016, and we already talked about a change in the format for the Friday night call-in show, and we're going to start that next week. So this week you can do that, or you can reach out to me on Skype, charles.ochilli on Skype, and if you ask me to, I'll bring you into the show. I'll call you into the show on Skype, charles.ochilli, or, once again, 319-527-5016. And, oh, by the way, this Monday I will be live, and, I'm gonna be live with the Greek, and we're gonna talk about yet another new and upcoming thing. We're gonna sorta revamp, not really do Ochilli and the Greek again, a little something different, and, we're gonna talk about it on Monday night. So, a new separate project for those that choose to support the network. Because we are in need of greater support than we got in 2022 to get through 2023, okay? I don't like it that I've got to ask my friends when I need to pay a bill for the network. Okay, so we're trying to come up with new and interesting ways for you to engage, new reasons for you to sign up for a membership, new reasons for you to support the show. And obviously, I'm not talking to the people that already have. I'm talking to those of you that do listen and don't chip in. Anyways, that's what it is. I don't want to keep doing a commercial pitch, although I got a new one in the break. I don't know if anybody heard it, but got a new one because I clipped it out of Jack Blood's show from yesterday. And I think it was a pretty solid-sounding little commercial I made real fast, which, by the way, I am for hire on that. Anybody needs an audio spot made totally original, you know, music, customized, script work, all of that. I am for hire to make your little commercials, too, if you need that. And from what I understand, I actually do it for a fair, very fair price. So anyways, you can contact me, blindjfkresearcher at gmail.com. That also happens to be the PayPal address. Okay, so back to it. We have Mrs. O with us. We have Nature Boy with us. We have Jimmy James with us. And, of course, my co-host, B. Pete. So, co-host and brother, B. Pete, you know, I'm getting real excited about the trip to Dallas, too, by the way. There are many interested parties who would like to meet up with us in Dallas. So I really hope you're dead serious about taking that road trip with me.
Is one of them Ralph Sink or Jim Fesser?
No, we have not heard from Ralph Sink, I think. Or is it Sink? I don't know. The kitchen sink. Or Dr. Fetzer. They have not checked in with me yet.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in, and I'll be sure to swing by Louisiana to pick up Fetzer's buddy there. What's his name?
What was his last name?
I just call him the guy always chewing sunflower seeds.
Is that what he's doing when he's on air? Gary, whatever his name is?
Yeah, man.
See, I thought it was tobacco. It's sunflower seeds?
Yeah, he must do that because he quit smoking, I would guess, or something like that, you know?
No, maybe. Maybe. Well, it's got to be better for you than that Nicorette gum. I tried to quit using Nicorette gum at one point. After a couple of days, I wound up going to the hospital. They told me to stop chewing the Nicorette gum. Anyways.
I tried the patches, but I couldn't keep them lit.
Yeah, well, you know. What can you do? I mean, I am a chain smoker, and it is very hard to roll those up. You know. Anyways, I don't have cigarette money today, so again, that's why that pitch for the network is being pushed tonight. And we'll hear, maybe if we do another segment and take another break, I'll play that commercial again, pleading for donations. Anyhow, where should we go now, B. Pete? You got something that you want to direct this with, or should we turn to one of the callers and ask them if they got another topic to throw on the table?
Well, we can turn to one of the callers. I'm sitting here glancing over at the TV, and I still swear that Charlotte Flair's had her Adam's apple shaved. You must have.
Mm. Okay. We're talking WNBA?
WWF, I guess it is.
Oh, WWF. Or WWE?
It's WWE. They were WWF, but they had to change because the World Wildlife Foundation, or Federation, or whoever the heck they are, claimed that they had rights to WWF. So that's when Vince McMahon changed it to WWE.
You know, I couldn't believe when they lost that lawsuit. I really thought there was no way in hell they were going to take that away from Vince McMahon, and they did.
Oh, that surprised me, too. I thought, you know...
It's because the World Wildlife Fund is one of those things that the CIA uses to move money. That's why he lost.
I thought the WWF was more connected to the the British intelligence agencies than our CIA. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, maybe they're in cahoots.
That might be a grab bag, right? Like where they're all working together there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, okay. So which caller should we go to, B. Pete? Which one do you think will give us the right topic to drive us forward? Or, because I'm kind of good on all the stuff we covered so far.
Oh, what about Mrs. O? Has she got anything else to see? Or she has such interesting topics.
Why not, hon? You know, you always bring a little bit of tension and something definitely different. So go for it. You got something else on your mind tonight?
Well, let's see. I did see earlier that the guy that's accused of killing the four college students was apparently, being a creepy stalker. He was, showing up at their work and Instagramming hello, the one student that one of the girls that was murdered. So that's kind of creepy. What else?
Hmm. Well, I wonder if that's one of those, you know, like, you know, if I can't you have you, nobody's going to have you kind of old stories there. I don't know what to make of that whole murder case, actually. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff apparently going on with that guy who had, you know, is, you know, fairly well educated in criminology and all that. And then he's doing this stuff
right.
And stalking and all. I don't know. It's like, seems like somebody's getting ready to launch a new Netflix series here.
I'm kind of curious how he could get to the point that he's working on his PhD in criminology. Apparently, he didn't pay much attention over the past 6 years that he got his BS and his master's.
Hmm.
I mean, he honestly think he could pull this thing off
well, maybe
and not he's caught by the evidence.
Well, maybe he didn't get to the classes on, digital forensics,
I don't know. You'd think in 6 years they'd have a topic that might, you know, let him know that, hey, maybe, you know, I'll get caught doing this.
Yeah, not a good endorsement.
He's 28 years old. He's been going to college for 10 years.
Well, either way, look, not a good endorsement for whatever college he went to, criminology-wise. I mean, this guy's definitely not Dexter, for Christ's sake. Because he can't figure out how to, you know, avoid getting caught. Like, he laid all sorts of, you know, wonderful forensic, you know, reconstructive tools out there for somebody who understands vaguely the Internet. I mean, you know, it's almost as bad as that other guy who got busted recently. You know, they arrested him, and what were they doing? They've been telling us about his Google searches all week, right? How do you dispose of a body?
Yeah, guys, supposedly his wife's disappeared. Is that up in Maine or somewhere?
Yeah, hon, you were following that story, weren't you?
Massachusetts.
You know, the biggest...
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I wonder if that guy's Chris Graves' neighbor, you know? I mean, maybe Graves lives near him. We should check.
The biggest question I got about the Moscow, Idaho incident is... One of the people living in the house saw him at 4-something in the morning on his way out the door.
Right.
And she closed her door, locked it, and there wasn't a phone call until noonish, 12:30, later that morning. That's the part I don't understand.
It was a party house, and the mask he was wearing was one of them stupid COVID masks, so maybe she just thought it was just another weird drunk dude leaving for the night.
Hmm. I don't know. That whole thing is still up in the air. Like, it's just, it's the weirdest case. I thought it was the strangest case that
saw him and still had the knife.
Well, there's that, and he's left DNA supposedly on the sheath for the knife. And the weirdest thing to me, though, about if you step back for a second and you think about it is, that the media was covering this without the weenie on the bun, basically. They didn't have evidence to put forth. They didn't really have.
Well, it's
true.
Yeah, and you have to commend the local police department for keeping things close to the vest until they had somebody apprehended.
Well, right.
I mean, I know people were frustrated there for a time because nothing was coming out, but if it wasn't for that, that guy could have, you know, he may have disappeared for all we know.
You see, and that was another thing, too, is that to me, I'm sitting there going, well, you know, people were complaining, and my objection to their complaints was, well, normally you've got to deal with the police department that's letting out too much information that, you know, is trying to use the media to catch somebody. And therefore they're letting out stuff and inadvertently they're screwing things up. I mean, how many times have you seen that? Where it's like, you know, oh, they gave this guy a heads up because once he knew they had this piece of information, he's screwed. These guys actually kept it all close to the vest. So I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm not usually.
Well, yeah, the only thing they released that picture, looking for the car.
They released the picture of the car was to, they were already watching him.
Well, yeah.
They were wanting to see what he would do.
But listen, typically I'm not the supporter of the cops, right? But I'm thinking to myself, well, thank God they did a smart thing here by not letting out information and giving a heads up, giving a tip to the guy they're looking for. Because that's usually what happens. You know, and then they get lucky and they get him in a traffic stop or whatever. I mean, how many times does that happen? They can't find this guy for days, weeks, whatever. And they just happen to, you know, it's like, oh, busted taillight. They got him. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But I'm sitting there saying to myself, for once, the police did the smart thing. I mean, it's dumb to let the guy that you're closing in on know that you're closing in on him. Right?
Well, that's true.
So, you know, I was like, again, not Mr. Police Booster here, but I'm going, well, at least that was smart. I mean, I thought, I don't know. People just kept complaining, though. They don't have anything. They don't have anything. And I'm going, well, if they do, then they're being smarter than most of these police, you know, organizations. That as soon as the media descends on them, they want to give out more information than they should. So I thought it was actually well played. If indeed this is the guy, you know. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. What can I say? But, yeah, so, Nature Boy, you got anything to say about this?
No, I haven't been following the story, so, no.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, anyway.
I do have a little bit of naked news if we want to go down there.
Oh, hey, now there we go. Mrs. O, you were giving us topics. You object to going to some naked news with Nature Boy?
Nope, sounds fun.
All right, I'm sure that Jimmy James is on board with it. And anybody else who wants to join us, I haven't checked the phone lines in a couple minutes. Let me look, make sure somebody's not sitting there. 319-527-5016. I do see a caller just joined us. And I'll get to them right after we get this naked news update from Nature Boy.
All right, I have three stories, and they're all from our favorite state, by the way. One of them involves a tweaker. One of them is a little bit tragic, but kind of freaky. And another one is just flat out weird. Hmm. Which one do y'all want?
Well, I got to tell you that the moment that Nature Boy calls something weird, my attention is definitely going to go to that. But, BP, what do you think? The weird one, the tweaker, or the tragedy?
Well, I'm kind of in a weird mood. Let's see what he's got in that avenue.
So we agree. Let's go to weird, Nature Boy.
All right. This is from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The headline reads, and it's from the Daily Beast, naked woman pulled from Florida storm drain says she was trapped for 3 weeks.
Whoa, okay. 3 weeks in a storm drain?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yes. I wonder what she had to eat down there.
There's a lot of questions that can come up. 3 weeks. 3 weeks is a long time to be anywhere.
Yeah. This is a quick story, so it's one paragraph, so I'll blow through it.
Go
for it. A 43-year-old Florida woman who was found naked inside a storm drain on Tuesday said she was trapped in the underground system for 3 weeks. The woman told police that she went for a swim in West Delray Canal on March 3rd when she opened a door that guided her through a chain of tunnels. After going through multiple tunnels, the woman got lost and couldn't navigate her way back out. The drainage system eventually led to the downtown area of Delray Beach on Atlantic Avenue. This is where she was found on Tuesday after a passerby heard the woman yelling from the sewer, and called 911. She was missing for 20 days. The woman reportedly has a history of mental health issues and drug addiction issues. Mm. End quote. End of story.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's a story and a half. Should we pass it around for comments, Nature Boy? What do you think?
I think we shall.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's start with, you know what? Let's start with Jimmy James. Any comments, Jimmy James?
I'm thinking. You know, you really can't add to that story.
It's okay.
Pretty much. This woman's just needs to be taken care of.
Mm. All right. Well, look, you know what?
If you sit in a storm drain for 3 weeks, I mean, come on. She's not right.
Fair enough. Okay, so look, I got to agree with you. I got to say that if I was in local news in Florida, she would have definitely made the broadcast. Okay, that's all I'm saying. But BP, you got any comments about this?
I don't understand the 3 weeks. Mm. I mean, you would think. I mean, where was she located that nobody could hear? I mean, that's the thing about, you know, storm drains. The echo, the noise travels. I just can't believe that she was down there undetected for 3 weeks.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, that is a weird thing. Like, how do you stay down there and nobody notices? Where the hell was... Does it give us any indicator as to where the storm drain was, Nature Boy? I missed it, if it did. Like, is it in a...
In, yeah. It was the downtown area of Delray Beach on Atlantic Avenue.
Hmm.
And
it's pretty busy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It must be in the town of Delray Beach or something like that.
No, I get that, but I'm trying to think of, like, is it in an area where a lot of people should be walking by this storm drain? You know?
Eventually, I mean, she got lost in the drainage system. So eventually she was by the storm drain, and there's a picture of it, but the only thing that shows is a bunch of firemen. They got her kind of covered up, and her knees are really scraped up and bloody. It looks like a fairly busy street.
So she wasn't hanging out by the opening the whole time then. She was kind of wandering around in the drainage system. Okay, well, there you go, BP. I mean, she was like in the dark in the tunnels there.
She couldn't have made it without eating for 3 weeks. Being crazy, maybe when she said 3 weeks to her, that could have been really 3 days.
Well, no, you can survive for 3 weeks without eating.
Well, you can find stuff down in the storm drain to eat.
Yeah, you know, you can survive. No, hold on, Jimmy James, you can survive for 3 weeks without eating. When I had my throat surgery, that was precisely the doctor's directions, is to not eat for 3 weeks. No solid food.
She had nothing but drain water.
Well, I understand.
Kill you pretty quick.
You'd think so. You would think so, but I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that you can survive without food for 3 weeks. But, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's recommended. But, you know, it's not impossible as long as you got some water. Water you're gonna have a problem with in less than 3 weeks. But
Atlantic Avenue in Delray Beach runs east-west from the actual beach at the ocean all the way through town. And it's all commercial, and, I mean, I could see her getting lost in a sewer system, but for 3 weeks, I don't know.
Yeah, it is questionable that she got lost in there for 3 weeks. But if she was lost in there for a while, I mean, she could have been lost in there for days. And besides that, how do you know how much time actually passed if you're in the dark? I mean, it's a tough thing.
It's a well-known fact. That one crazy person day equals, or no, one crazy person week equals one actual day, 24 hours.
Mm. Well, look, I'm not going to dispute it. I can tell you that if you end up in solitary confinement, time stretches strange. You know, because when I was in juvenile detention, when they put you in the cell and nobody can talk to you or anything, yeah, time goes in weird directions, and you can easily think something is a week long when it's really only a day or two. So that does happen, but I don't know. That is an odd story. So, Mrs. O, being a woman, you know, trapped in a sewer system for 3 weeks, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I would have died from anxiety, so... Yeah. I wouldn't have made 3 weeks. But I'm thinking, wouldn't, like, the fumes down there be toxic?
Well, not necessarily in the drainage system, right? I mean, it's only going to get in there what runs off from the streets and what people throw down there and spills in there, right?
Well, it depends how big of a place it is, because if there was a lot of rotting vegetation, yeah, that could get real bad down there.
That's true.
So, I just have a hard time believing that it was really 3 weeks. Mm. I don't know if she would survive.
So you question the time period, too?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, fair enough. So we have, looks like we have a couple other callers now. Let's see. Oops. Well, one of them went away. Oh, wait. Nope. There they are. Let's get to the first one, a number I recognize, and we'll take them in order. See if our friend is going to make a comment about the story about the lady trapped in a drain for 3 weeks naked, or if he wants to talk about something else. But first, I got to ask him if he's Vance-tastic today.
Vance-tastic.
Nice. How you doing, Vanerkey? What's going on?
The whiskey's kicking in, so, you know.
Nice.
Getting better.
Hey, look, it's always better with the with a decent whiskey, yeah?
Yeah, I got here a little late tonight because last week at my house it dropped the call there towards the end and stuff. And so I came down to the bar and I got a late start, and I heard y'all talking about, you know, the format change and all that kind of stuff. And, okay. As to the lady in the sewer, I missed anything, or I was distracted or whatever, but how did she end up in the sewer? How'd she get in the sewer in the first place?
Good question. Do we know that, Nature Boy?
The report says she's seen an elk that called her and beckoned her to come.
Had something to do with a clown. His name may or may not have been Pennywise. You know, Nature Boy, are you still with us?
I did. I just stepped away for a second. I'm back.
Ah, okay. So is there any indicator as to how she got in there in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. She was taking a swim in the West Delray Canal, and then she found a door that opened, and that, or I'll quote it, when she opened the door, that guided her through a chain of tunnels. So she's swimming, found a door, swam through the tunnels. After going through multiple tunnels, she got lost and couldn't find her way back out.
There you have it. Okay. So I got
this crazy lady did all that swimming and all that surviving. Was she ever a Navy SEAL?
No, she was a mental tweaker, dude. Never underestimate the power of a tweaker.
She must have butt.
Now, wait a minute. Nature Boy, I thought this wasn't the tweaker story. This is the weird story.
Well, it says she had issues of mental health and drug addiction issues. Well, that's so I just made an assumption she was a tweaker.
Well, that's a weird assumption. I mean, she could have been, she could have been, I don't know, into fentanyl.
Yeah, but you don't find a lot of junkies out there swimming around. Most of the time, they're all leaned over.
Well, some junkies swim.
A different story.
Well, some junkies swim, and look, cocaine. I've seen people swim on cocaine.
Yeah, I know coke's a stimulant, so it could be a cocaine, but I doubt if she probably can afford the good cocaine.
Well, but crackheads swim.
Yeah, that's true. That's but true. If you're swimming, it's kind of hard to light your crack pipe.
No, true. That's mean, true. You can't.
I've gone to people's houses and found bums floating around in their pools.
There you go. So, look, I've got another caller on the line, so I'm going to go to them and see if they got any comment about the lady in the in the sewer for 3 weeks, found naked, and if not, maybe they got another topic they want to throw on the table. So, new caller, not sure who you are, but welcome to the show, and how you doing?
Thank you. Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Sounds like the plot to Chud 3, Lady in the Sewer.
Oh, see, I didn't recognize the number, but I do recognize the voice.
Chris, good evening.
Do crackheads sink or swim? That's the age-old question.
I don't know. That's...
crack is not water-soluble, so...
I don't know. You know, I do know that crack does... I know crack floats on its own, but crackheads, I'm not sure.
Hope floats. You know that.
Well, hope floats too. Anyways, you got some.
Anyway, is this?
Yeah.
How is this lady? Does it say Nature Boy at all? Is she going into a home or?
Well, she's 43 years old, so it's a short article. Doesn't have a lot of detail. But that said, she has mental health and drug addiction issues. So, you know.
Hey, by the way, I've got.
I feel bad.
No, look, I feel bad for anybody who finds themselves in a situation where they can get trapped in a storm sewer for 3 weeks. But Anyway, you know, I got a question for you though, Chris. And,
yeah,
it just occurred to me while we were having the, loose random discussion, which next week we're going to change formats, but here's the thing. Are you anywhere near this guy that supposedly, was doing the Google searches for how to find, hide a body and all that? Does that guy live near you? Have you checked out that story?
Yeah, a couple towns over.
A couple towns over. Okay. do you happen to know him?
No.
All right.
No, hey. I never saw him at the Pizza Hut, I'll tell you that.
No, hey, just a shot. You never know. I mean, just saying. You know, a couple towns over.
Yeah, didn't they find the Google searches? It was like how to dispose of a body. He had a bloody knife in his house. All this other stuff.
Yeah, like how soon can you collect on an insurance policy? Or, you know, if you divorce a woman and she dies, what happens?
Yeah, when does the smell start coming from the house? That was one of them.
Yeah, there was something about how long before a body starts to smell. I don't know. He was doing all kinds of Google searches.
Well, I'm just glad they finally locked up my uncle, you know what I mean?
Hey, that's what I was asking for, you know?
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the new direction for the network, sir.
Well, we shall see. You're going to be a big part of it, so, you know, here we go. No pressure or anything. but we're gonna have Get Mad with Chris Graves is going to be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and for one vote anyways. As far as, I think Nature Boy was the one who said it, that he thinks it's a great idea, to have you on more. Was it you who said it, Nature Boy, or was it somebody else?
No, it was me. I think that's a great move.
Yeah. So, looking forward to see what you, yeah.
You're becoming quite the rising star out there in the independent media, Mr. Chris, unless you, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think about it. I'm not trying to get overwhelmed, but, I appreciate it. And I'm actually working on, like, I think I mentioned to both of you, I'm working on Squeaky Fromm, you know, for the Ocelli Network right now. I got her attention briefly, and we'll see if I can get her attention again.
Yeah, funny thing, I would like...
Shooter?
Yeah, the one who tried to shoot Ford, who was, you know, part of the Manson family and all that, she wrote a book, and she's around. So, and she's free.
Yeah, it's called Reflection.
Reflection, yeah. So I would like to interview her. What can I say?
That would be fantastic. That would be great, because you know a lot about the Manson family, right? Because, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I don't really have a vast knowledge, so I don't think I'd be able to ask her, you know, very interesting questions other than the basic ones that the public would probably know.
Well, you do fine. I think you could ask her all about the, you know, the Ford assassination attempt, which she would obviously, I don't know how she'd react, but, you know, like, I have always, I mean, I would definitely have to ask her why Gerald Ford,
right.
You know, of all people that you want to go try and assassinate.
It's the Warren Commission.
You know, why Gerald Ford? But other than that, I mean, look, there's 100 things. Anybody, I think, could figure out some great questions for her. So, you know, and you definitely...
Well, you actually talked to Charlie on the phone briefly.
Yeah, once. But, yeah, so, no, I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to seeing what Chris does, you know, with more slots to work with over here. Should be really interesting. Also, did you put out the interview from earlier today yet?
My good friend Six is putting it together with the intro and the outro for the Digging Chris Graves, part of the thing, because, we figured on the video, we'd get Maria, you know, out there loud and proud, and, I was very honored to talk to Miss Heller today. Right. And, thank you, Chuck, for your, assistance, seriously.
No problem there, but I'm looking forward to having people get that, because, I think you're gonna get some hate mail, and I'll tell you, hate mail is always, entertaining.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think so too.
So, you know, please share that with us. But, Chris interviewed Maria Heller for over an hour earlier today. I was, on the call, and it is going to be a video thing for Digging Chris Graves, which is the video thing that he does out there. So you guys will be able to, visit that. And, we're also going to be part of the ever expanding Chris Graves media universe. So there you go. I just want to see where this goes. This ought to be fun. Oh, did the
yeah, and I want to see the Ocelli Network and where that's going too in the next year. There's a lot of exciting plans coming up.
I hope so. You know, the tinfoil hat thing, too. You were also on Tinfoil Hat recently with Sam Tripoli.
Yeah, he actually called me. This is his words. He wants to hire me to do research, but, I don't know. I can't seem to get him back on the phone. So maybe he actually, listened to one of my shows. I don't know.
Hey, well, look, you never know with these. I would not announce that everywhere that the guy wanted to hire you for something if I was you.
This is the only place. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. We don't have any listeners anyway, right?
No, that's not what I meant either. That sounded horrible. That's not what I meant.
This is the only place. It's okay.
Yeah, it's like shouting into the wall. No, that's not what I meant at all.
It's so funny because, you know, I asked Jack Blood a couple of years ago, you know, if he wanted, he said something about wanting to get back into radio, and I said, well, you know, I'm here. I'll put you back right away. You know, I'll produce you. And he said something like, you know, well, you don't really have a lot of listeners. And I was like, okay. Then he found out that we do actually have some listeners, when he was on here, and he said something about, I'm not going to do this unless people show me that there's listeners. So they did.
I remember that.
Yeah. So that was fun. But, yeah, it's okay.
Look, I appreciate you, Chuck. I really do.
I'm glad somebody does. Between you and Mrs. O, it's all good. Cause that's all I need.
All right.
A friend and of course the wife. Mrs. O, you still with us, or do we put you to sleep, by the way?
Oh.
Maybe we put her to sleep. It's okay. Or Frankie got a hold of her or something. It's all right. Let's see. Looks like she's still on the line. I'll check on her in a little bit, guys. Don't worry. So, B. Pete, where should we go from here? Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I didn't give Vance really a space to throw something on the table, did I? BP.
That's true.
Wait a minute. Is it just me and Chris talking? BP, are you still with us?
No, I said this is true. You didn't really give Vance a chance for anything else.
Right. So, Vance, is there something you'd like to throw on the table, sir? Do, 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 do. Okay. Let's see. Is Vance still there? Yeah, he's still there, too. All right, I don't know what's going on. Jimmy James, you're still with us, right?
Yep.
Okay, sorry to interrupt the bong hit, but okay, I just want to make sure, like, I'm still connected to the phones, because I had two people in a row not answer me. All righty. Anyway, BP.
Okay, I think now I'm back.
Oh, there he is, Vance. I knew I didn't put you to sleep, because you're in a bar.
Yeah, well, I'm outside, but my connection wasn't plugged all the way in. So
okay.
My cut out there, so.
Sorry,
apologize. No, I didn't have anything specific, you know, when I called in. Like I said, I heard on the way in y'all were going to change the format and stuff, so I figured I'd call in tonight, but I think that's a good idea to, you know, kind of cut down on what happened like last Friday, you know, where everybody's, you know, it's probably my mic or whatever. It doesn't, you know, cut in time with my connection or whatever.
No worries.
Set up or whatever.
Don't even worry about it.
Get a word in edgewise. I was trying to, you know, wait my turn last time and, you know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Hey, listen, I got a quick question for you, actually, a specific one. Jack had on a guy yesterday, Murray Saban. Have you ever heard of him?
It's not ringing a bell.
Well, he was a libertarian candidate for governor in New Jersey in the late 90s. I think I actually voted for him. He's an economist and one of these guys. Jack had him on yesterday, but I actually made an approach to him thinking about trying to bring him in because he's one of these, you know, libertarian thinkers and the people at Von Mises like him. Was thinking about adding him to the mix to talk, you know, monetary issues and of course freedom issues as well. So I was curious if you had ever heard of him. Might be bringing him on a show very soon. I don't want to get him too close to.
That's good. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking in my head lately, you know, with all this controlled demolition of, you know,
society and, you know, the economy and all that, that, you know, I don't hear any, and I'm sure there are people that are doing this because I'm, you know, not into everything, but you know, it seems like there'd be more of a push to have, you know, a real, actual, you know, bona fide global reset. Right. And you know, instead of, you know, putting up with this, you know, and so, you know, maybe we can pose that in some form or fashion as a question of, like, you know, what is it going to take to, you know, actually just kind of accept the fact that this system is has, you know, pretty much gone as far as it can go, and it's got to collapse one way or the other. So, you know, what's the best way to, you know, have a system collapse?
I got you. Well, look, fair enough. I'll tell you what we are going to do is we're going to take one more break, if that's okay, BP. What do you think? Get ourselves organized for the last, say, 20-minute run?
Sure, sounds good.
All right, and I like doing this, like, three segments on the Friday night show when we can. It always seems to work out pretty well. We get to adjust our flow during the breaks and all that. But still time for you listening out there if you want to call in. And if you can try and stay awake, you got something you want to throw on the table randomly, it's all up to you tonight. But starting next week, we'll be having a more format-driven, topic-driven Friday night call-in show. So far, Mrs. O, Jimmy James, Chris Graves, Vanarchy himself, and Nature Boy have all joined us here, and you can too. 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. The Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's just a gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smoke for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Ocelli.com. Revelation through conversation.
The views expressed by callers to host or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides. Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession or worse. So you're going to have tremendous suicides, but you know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. You will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before, and people are going to be dying all over the place from drug addiction. I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing.
What other show can you hear during the commercial break from Donald Trump, Jack Blood, and Nature Boy? None, that's what. Although Nature Boy has done some voiceovers for some other people, I think, recently, for another podcast, right?
Yeah, I did one for our Big Dumb Mouth podcast.
There you go.
Did a bunch of taglines for him and stuff like that.
You know what? You should send me some. Have they used them yet?
Oh yeah, it's on their intro, and then he's got throughout his show just different taglines. I think one was like high strangeness or something else. Pretty much what it is, I just did the standard, read the line in three different voices.
Hey, crazy question. Do you think they're the kind of podcast that I could like have them on and have like a little cross pollination discussion with a fellow podcaster, or are they something else?
Who, Midnight Mike and ODBM?
Oh, is that who that is with your big stupid mouth or whatever?
Yeah, our Big Dumb Mouth podcast.
Our Big Dumb Mouth, sorry. Okay, our Big Dumb Mouth. Yeah, no, okay, so that's got Midnight Mike on it from that other thing. Okay, yeah. Well, hey, look, if you feel like it, tell him I wouldn't mind having him on my show or whatever, you know?
Yeah, next time I talk to him, I don't talk to him that often, but sure, definitely mention it to him.
Okay, cool. Anyways, great stuff. Anyhow, who else is with us? We got Vanerky with us. We got Mrs. O. We got the legendary Jimmy James and the rising star in alt media, Chris Graves, with us all together, and my co-host, B. Pete. So we are well-rounded out, but we got room for more if you want to call in. I did mention Vanerky, didn't I, B. Pete, or no?
No.
No, I didn't. Sorry. Vance is also with us, Vanerky himself. my apologies, brother. Didn't mean to skip you. But anyways, all these people are with us, but you could be with us too. You, the listener, as long as you're hearing us live on the 20th day of January, 2023. Just so you know. If you're hearing us via podcast, you can't call in. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Or reach out to me on Skype. I am charles.ocelli. Okay. Anyway, Pete, what do you think we should do with the last 20 minutes here? We got a bunch of people on the line. We've kicked around some interesting topics. We only got to one of three naked news stories with Nature Boy. Should we go for another naked news or what?
Yeah, we can. I'll give you a quick update on our naked home invader from Asheville, North Carolina. He goes to court on the 30th. And he has a total of 50, and even 50, charges.
50 charges.
Yes.
Wow. that's a busy weekend. Oh, no, it wasn't over a weekend, though. It was over a while, wasn't it?
It was over about a... Well, once they got him for the trying to get into the lady's camper and get her car keys, I think they went back and fingerprints tied him into a bunch of other robberies and burglaries and breaking and enterings. Then he's got all the traffic charges from where he tried to run down the cop with the car with no insurance and no tags, no license, and drug charges. So, you know, he's an all rounder. Let's put it that way. He hits the gamut from vehicle crimes to property crimes to illicit drugs.
So well rounded.
That doesn't happen a lot.
So anyway, okay, fair enough. That's the update on the guy who is basically, he was like the first naked news story, right?
One of the first ones, yeah.
One of the very first ones. Okay. So
I think that was the first guy, wasn't it, BP?
When it
swam across the creek naked, running into houses, one dude pulled a gun on him and ran out.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't just a creek. I mean, that's French Broad River. That's a pretty wide river in parts up there.
Yeah.
I guess he was practicing.
Sorry, Jimmy James, you were saying something?
I was just wondering, that naked guy that's got 50-some-odd charges, remember it came out that he had a naked girlfriend accomplice. What happened there?
She was never naked.
Oh, she wasn't naked.
Yeah, his girlfriend got popped on some drug charges, and then somehow they've got her tied into, like, receiving stolen goods and stuff like that from some of his other capers. But they were a tandem team from, you know, a while back in another part of the state. They moved west and, continued their crime spree there. But, yeah, she's being held on some stuff, too. So I think she's only looking at about 4 charges.
Well, my amateur hour there compared to this guy. He's got 50. I mean, that's, you know.
So I take it they haven't offered this guy any kind of plea bargain?
No, he's been locked up. I finally found him on the roster of the Buncombe County Jail. I thought he had been transferred to Central Prison. Possibly he had gone to court, pled guilty, and I just couldn't catch it on the schedule. But I've been keeping an eye on it here every week. And he's had stuff. I guess he's had some stuff that's been continued a year, because this was... I'm not mistaken, we were working up in that area doing a pavement survey when this happened. He's been guest of the county jail for well over a year.
Well, again, not so unusual. And but what is interesting here, I guarantee Jimmy James, by the time they actually, you know, resolve all this in court, they'll drop a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's just for the sake of paperwork, if nothing else. It's going to be like, look, you know, do we really need to charge him on all? Once they got him on a couple of things for sure, they'll probably, you know, sweep it together into a package deal, drop a bunch of things so you don't have to go through the trouble of describing the charges for this or that or the other. If you have any victimless crimes, you know, they'll probably just drop those.
Right.
And,
because otherwise being on that jury would be a cruel and unusual punishment.
Exactly.
To have to go through 50 felonies with that guy.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot of evidence. I mean, you know, 50 crimes, for God's sake, you know. So.
Did they offer him clothes?
Well, see, the thing is, you know, when they got him in the car, okay, he's driving a car without a tag, doesn't have a license, no insurance. So that's 3 charges right there. Plus he tried to run down the cop. So that's assault with a deadly weapon. So out of one little incident, you get 5 or 6 charges. Well, they've got him on 4 or 5 breaking and enterings, plus his drug charges. That one pop got him, I think, paraphernalia, possession, and I think distributing. So, you know, they can jack up everything. So let's say they got him on 10 different things and 5 average charges from each one. They'll drop the most minor 1 or 2. Like, they'll get him for trying to run down the cop, but they'll get him for no insurance.
They'll drop paraphernalia.
They'll drop the stolen plate. They'll drop the paraphernalia, but they'll get him for the distribution.
Right.
know, things like that. They'll trade it out. He'll probably plead out, but I'm wondering why they keep putting it off. Because in this state, certain charges, if you get them dismissed for more than a year, then they have to drop the charge because you didn't get your quick day in court. Mm. So that's what a lot of people do, is try to get something postponed and get a lawyer, get it postponed. Usually they'll postpone it three times and then you got to go. His has been postponed, oh God, four or five times over the course of the year.
Right, right.
So his is probably coming up soon.
Right, fair enough. And besides, like I said, just because of the nuisance, and like you said, Jimmy James, being on that jury would be cruel and unusual punishment, having to sit through all that. You know, it's like, eh. Okay, so we don't need him on paraphernalia possession. Yeah.
Probably entertainment. People fight to get on that jury.
Yeah, but depending on what the, like, say, what the possession charge is, if you're talking about, like in North Carolina, I know when I left even, they had gotten it down to, it was just like a ticketing offense, really. If it was marijuana.
That's for marijuana, but when you're for meth and that, they've got these, minimum sentences and things like that for, different scheduled controlled substances.
Well, but see, there's the thing, is if you drop, something like that.
I'll give Joe Biden one good credit. He did one smart thing in his whole life.
Yeah.
He did make it so that crack and cocaine are an equal charge now, and crack's not some kind of higher thing because it's the same thing.
Yeah,
I will say he did fix that, so.
Hmm. All right, fair enough. So, BP, with time beginning to wane a bit, because we're going to come in around 2 hours if we end about 10 minutes from now, what do you think? Should we go around the horn and get everybody's final thoughts?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. We can start with Jimmy, since he was the first caller in.
Yeah, I'll let you pick the order. So we'll start with Jimmy James. Jimmy James, you got a final thought for tonight?
Oh, well, of course I do.
Okay.
When in doubt, stand on it.
When in doubt, stand on it?
That's right.
Fair enough.
With the screaming 350 on your back, you gotta stand on it. Come on, man, and stand on it. Hit the gas, in other words.
There you go. Words to live by from Jimmy James. Who's next, BP?
That would be Nature Boy.
Well, I just want to say thanks for letting me hang out with y'all, guys. I enjoy it. Haven't been around for a couple weeks. Been a little bit busy here. But Chuck, Chris, congratulations on the changes on the network and the reconfiguring of the shows, man. I see good things on that. And as always, support the Ocelli Effect. Go donate. Do whatever you can. Buy him a cup of coffee. A little bit goes a long way. He puts a lot of work into this so that we can be informed and sometimes entertained. So everybody out there listening, it's a group effort, and times are really hard for everybody, but that means times are really hard at the network too. So open your wallets, give a buck or two, enjoy the shows. Please keep coming back, share the shows with everybody. And with that long-winded little statement, I'm going to say good night.
One other thing to throw in, you know, Chris is even more involved with the network than people know just yet, because we're going to be expanding the book section, the audiobook section. And Chris is going to work with me on that, as he has already, because he does the after discussions. He's been the only steady guy. A lot of people said they'd show up to do that and did not. And Chris has hung with me, but he's actually going to get more involved with the audiobook section, which is going to include more stuff than just my life story. There's going to be other things going on. I'm going to leave that sneak preview at that, and we'll talk about it more in the future. So, BP, who's next?
That would be Mrs. O, I believe.
All right. Well, I just want to thank everybody for their continued support of Chuck and everybody else that's involved with the network. Really does help a lot. Oh, there go my dogs, of course. Yep. They have to chime in, too. Well, just expect to see some new things going on. I think they're going to be for the better. And enjoy your weekend. It's football on. Don't forget to watch. And we'll see y'all next Friday. Have a safe week. Love y'all.
There you go, Mrs. O. I'll see you in the other room in a few minutes. But very, very happy that she mentioned that. And, yeah, there's going to be some interesting stuff coming up, and I do hope that you guys enjoy it. So who is next, BP?
That would be Van.
Ah, Vanarchy himself.
Van.
There he is.
I'm good to hear about the new changes and all that. Look forward to it, I'll probably call in next Friday and, you know, see what goes on then.
Oh yeah, well, I'm hoping that it's an even more engaging show next Friday. I appreciate you guys who have called in and joined in, that's for sure. We may, you know, look, we'll see what goes on in the near future, but there might be some new regulars that come up too. And you know, Vance, I meant to get back to you doing that. So hopefully we can do that at some point when you're feeling up to it.
Yeah, I'd love to. If you need somebody to, you know, fill in, and I'm feeling a lot better and stuff now. Who knows what's going to happen in the near future? But also to Chris, you know, I listened to his show. I forget where it was on yours or who, about the Boston bombing stuff, and I'd sent him some stuff. So, you know, if he needs somebody to talk to on any of that kind of stuff, you know, let me know too.
There you go. Yeah, Digging Chris Graves is where he did that, I'm pretty sure, right, Chris?
One of the interviews I've been doing lately. And Vance, I did get that email, so I've been wanting to talk to you anyway. So that actually sounds like a perfect future show right there.
Yeah. Hey, Vance, if you want...
kind of show we're talking about.
No problem. Vance, if you want, I can pass along your phone number to Chris, and you guys can just get in touch direct.
Sure, Skype, whatever, you know.
All right, I will do that, and thanks for calling in, man. So, again, Vanarchy himself, no social media to report for him or anything, but there he is. All right.
Good night, y'all. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too. And a quick shout-out, by the way, to somebody I know who's listening over on the other side of the world, where it is Saturday, I guess. Ray, who has been curating the BitChute channel and adding to the video presence out there and doing lots of other work. I appreciate you, man. Just wanted to give you a quick shout-out since you weren't able to call in just now. And also, check your email. You'll see folders in there again. New ones. Anyways, that's another project coming up. And the BitChute channel is where Ray is curating all that. So, and you can see him on the supporters page at Ocelli.com, by the way. There's a picture there that he sent me. He chose the picture. So there it is. So who does that leave us with, BP?
I guess that's me and you.
Nope. We still got Chris with us.
Chris, I forgot. Yes, Chris. I'm sorry.
So, Chris,
that's all right.
Chris Graves, your final words. Yeah.
I think that Midnight Mike and the guys, that would be a good fit with you, Chuck. Like, I think you guys already were kind of crossing over with the Union of the Unwanted a few times, I think. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, no, they were on there once or twice, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, that's cool. That would be really interesting, actually. And the last thing I was going to say is, I still need to get Mr. Chuck Rocelli on Digging Chris Graves for a little uncensored action there. And I also wanted to say, just remember, don't zipper up too fast without checking first. Good night, everyone.
There you go. Don't zipper up without checking first. And, by the way, you should always smell your canteen before you drink it. Okay, so, BP. That now turns things over to you, my friend. What are your final thoughts for the night? And then we'll close it out, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to next week and changing things up. I'd like to give my appreciation to all the folks that called in tonight. We've got a pretty good crew of regulars, and hopefully we can spruce things up a bit, make it a little more interesting to people that are, you know, drive-bys that might catch their ear and turn them into a regular listener. Other than that, I just recommend people go to Ocelli.com, hit the donate button, do whatever you can. Every little bit helps. It ain't cheap putting stuff on the air. But other than that, I hope everybody has a good week and looking forward to seeing you all next Friday.
Right, where we'll have a format change that indeed is going to be, I think it'll be better, a little bit more of a focus. And it could be, you know, multiple choice, because if B. Pete and I split the hour, which I think is going to happen most of the time, we're going to come in independent with something that we want to focus on. And then, boom, you guys can pick from one of two things. And I can almost guarantee that him and I will come up with different ideas for the focus in the first hour. And when we have a guest, well, it'll be up to that guest to drive the focus. But for the most part, I think we'll start out with just B. Pete and I, and see what it is we come up with. And I think that'll be great. Look, you know, you like this, you like that, we'll go through it. And I really appreciate everybody who's participated in this. And at all times, it's kind of an experiment. And really, I want to amp up to the trip to Dallas in November, which we'll try and broadcast from as well. We've talked about that. And it'll be fun to have a road trip with my friend B. Pete. And if you guys want to meet us down there, we'll kind of have an impromptu Ocelli conference of sorts. And I already know there's going to be other podcasters there, names you might know. And I already know there's going to be some other people that are interested in showing up who are on the show all the time. And it could be a really, really cool weekend there in Dallas. So hopefully I'll be able to raise the funds to do that or come up with it somehow. And if not, I mean, you know, B. Pete and I might have to find work along the way. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, I want to let you guys know that I appreciate you. We're continuing forward as far forward as we can go. And, you know, remember this. I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Thank you, and good night.
Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's just a gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.